Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Brian Bulaga, what are you doing here? Edition. The Chewy used a phrase this morning. Gush season. That we gush about people around this time in training camp. There's been a lot of gushing about Matthew Golden. I'm going to gush, which is a weird word, about somebody else, and I want to see what Tausch and Bulaga think of it. Edition. And the It's Retro Pizza Hut Day! Get your red roof ready for Tausch, Jesse, and maybe a few real celebrities at the Pizza Hut in Platteville edition of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free ESPN Wisconsin app, which allows you to get everything you need from ESPN Wisconsin and customize it to your tastes. Get it in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from the sidelines at UW Platteville, the radio color voice of Badgers football.
Oh, we should have had him on today.
I don't think we need Tausch calling in while Tausch is on the app from the sideline. But if you want to give it a shot, we got 2 hours and 57 minutes to give it a try. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. I think we could wait because, first off, I don't know if I have the technological capabilities of doing that, but A lot of good stuff yesterday. Looking forward to it. There's a lot of going to be some good stuff today. Some live, non-scripted stuff. Unscripted, if you will. From Platteville. So, teams rounded into shape, trying to, you know, continue to figure out who's going to play where and all this good stuff. So, we'll only 22 days now until kick. So, it's coming. Football is coming.
So, I'm curious what exactly, because I thought of you yesterday, not because of football, not because of Pizza Hut, but because of a conversation I had with the boys on the Dam Sports Show on ESPN Beaver Dam. I think I may have been IPT, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that. But before we do, what did you do down there? We know you went to practice.
Yeah.
What else? What is the radio analyst do when, like, do they give you full access to all the film of practice? Do you sit down and have a pickle with Fickle? Like, what was your day like yesterday?
So I was able to talk to coaches. I got a chance to sit down and watch all of practice, watch some film. So I spent 3 or 4 hours of kind of catching up and making sure I understand the new offensive system, what or at least the parts of it that I can. And so I would say I probably spent 4 or 5 hours grinding on film and talking to different folks while I was here.
What did Grimesy tell you about the offense that you can share? Because and I don't know if you did this as a player or not. Were you ever, you know, did Buck and Aikman or any of the great broadcast teams? I don't know. Was it Al Michaels with John Madden while you were playing? Who was John Madden with? It wasn't Summerall.
It was but not did, Pat.
Did you
I
ever? Did you ever get to go to production meetings? Did everyone talk to the right tackle?
I talked to Rico, I think, with Jaws, maybe. And then Buck and Aikman, you know, you'd see them down on the field before the game, and they'd, you know, come up and act like they knew your name, and then they'd talk to you. So, yeah, it's not like that. It's much more impersonal, and, you know, I get a chance to sit and watch the film and, you know, talk to different coaches, get an idea. And I don't know. You know, obviously there's going to be more personnel groupings. It's not going to be as spready would be the best way I could put it without saying too much. But you're going to see more resemblance, I think, of what we've seen in the past. It's not going to be the Barry Alvarez ground and pound. You know, that's not where – I don't think that's where this group's at. But I'll just say I think you're going to see – you're going to see more line them up, let's see how we hold up football than we maybe saw with Phil Longo as the coordinator. That'd probably be the best way I could put it.
So do you think, because look, you are, and I'm not saying this facetiously at all, you're a legend. Your Badgers story, even though you didn't get to play for a good chunk of your time, your final year and how you got the opportunity and what you did with it and what you became in the NFL, you're a legend. How many of the players know who you are or have an understanding of who they're talking to or the coaches? Like, it's not like there's a bunch of guys that all came up under Alvarez and it's Paul Christ who knew of you. Like, what's the dynamic like with the guys?
I would say the guys that have been here 2 and 3 years, I would say hi. Transfers and everybody else, I'd say
sure.
Low. You know, I think obviously, you know, there's a lot of turnover now in college football. And, you know, one of the things I mentioned yesterday in observations with you guys is the defensive line, and there's just a lot of new bodies trying to figure things out. So I'd say anyone that's been here 2 or 3 years, I've been around enough. I, you know, get to at least one practice a week and come out here and do spring stuff. So I don't know the actual answer on that, Jason, but I would say anyone that's been here a couple of years, I would say it's a decent number.
Yeah, well, I hope they do, because, and especially given what you did in your career, I think there's a lesson to be learned for guys that are trying to work their way up the depth chart and get opportunities. All right, so I was not thinking of you yesterday afternoon at about 4:15 because of your legendary Badgers story or because you were in Platteville or even for the Pizza Hut event today after we get done with the show. I did something to our buddy Wally Lukashinsky, who we all agree, right? Wally is a lovable character. And they're doing great work down there in Beaver Dam. Really, him and Corey have ingrained themselves in the community. If you have the opportunity and you can stream it on the ESPN Wisconsin app, if you're not in the greater Beaver Dam, Waupun, Ripon Metroplex, they're a fun listen. It's an hour show. They're kind of, you know, if Homer is the best 60 minutes of your day for the Homer hour, these guys have a really good hour, too. I don't know how they're marketing it. But I joined them twice a week.
The second best 60 minutes of your day.
Well, I don't want to put any expectations on them. They're working their way up. But yesterday I had an exchange with Wally, and I think I may have been IPT, and I need a ruling from you, Tausch. Can you give that to me?
Sure.
All right, here we go. This is from the Dam Sports Show on ESPN Beaver Dam.
Well, I tell you what, I remember what you said this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, because we're talking about the offense's struggles. And the defense...
Hey, Wally.
Yeah?
I wasn't on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning.
Was that yesterday morning? I can't remember what days are either.
I didn't know if I should let you keep going or not. I couldn't decide.
Well, see, Brat Fries throw me through a loop. As soon as we're out there, the days bleed together. It feels like hometown today I was on this morning was 3 weeks ago. So that was yesterday. I remember yesterday. Hand up. If anything, it's more impressive. I remember it from an extra 24 hours away, Jason. But you were talking about those offensive struggles.
Tausch, I'm going to need a ruling on that.
Yeah, that's jerk store behavior. That was jerk store by you. Completely IPT. I don't mind you doing it. Let him finish his thought, and then you could say, "Oh, it's an interesting point. Actually, I was on Monday, not Tuesday, but the point was, and instead, now, for a show, and you want to make fodder out of it, all good, but if just in normal human relations, I would say it's completely IPT because it was unnecessary. Now, like the other day, you corrected me when I said something about Hobbs playing for Arizona. You watched the Arizona tape of him when he was playing with the Raiders.
I'm not sure that's true.
No, that is true. And instead of you letting that slide, you corrected me in time. All right, great. I don't think that's a game any of us, especially in this business, really want to get. It's like LePay and I, if Matt says something, it's third down, fourth, I'll maybe hit him and say, hey, it's fourth. I'm not going to correct him as he's talking. Actually, Matt, it's fourth down. That's kind of what you did to Luchinski there. No?
It's actually Lukaczynski or Lukaczynski.
I heard it both ways.
What did I say? Lukaczynski?
Lukaczynski. Luchinski.
Luchinski. Yeah.
And not that I'm correcting Luka you Dunchin. In real time.
Yeah, way to correct me. Good work.
Just to make another quick correction, I did not watch the Raiders against Arizona. They didn't play Arizona last year.
Oh my god!
I think what you may have been thinking of is Isaiah Simmons.
You said Cardinals
who played for Arizona and then played for the Cardinals, Giants before he came to Green Bay.
See, this is what you do. But then the problem I have with that, Jason.
Oh, here we go.
You're going to do all that, but if somebody ever corrects you, get so sensitive. You go into so I get it.
I don't. If the correction is warranted and actually accurate, I don't get whatever you're saying. I'm doing.
So, listen, man, it is you. This is who you are. So, I would say, here's how I would vote it. In normal, human, everyday conversation, totally rude, totally wrong. But I think from a general standpoint on the air, it's fun, and now there's more content. Luka Doncic, everybody is getting a little extra run. It's probably good in the grand scheme of things. It's good on the whole surface of it.
Yeah, well, I'm always two moves ahead. Just for the record, Jesse, because I know you have an opinion on this.
No, I do.
They pulled this. Now, again, I'm not here to tell them how to do their jobs. I did not especially love the phrasing of how they posted the poll.
Kind of sounds like you're telling them how to do their job.
Well, 100% it is. So
you're going to know why, though. You're going to hear it. It's the first sentence. Per three-time Wisconsin sports writer of the year, Jason Wilde's request. We don't need that. Okay, just per Jason Wilde. That would have been fine. We don't need the accolades.
You know me after all these years. You know I don't love that.
Nevertheless, the question they asked. When someone says something incorrect, do you interrupt them mid-statement? Yes or nah, let them run. 7 hours left in the poll. Right now, 61% of the Damn Sports Show voters... Yes, interrupt them. So 61% of their listenership agrees with me that it was good to interrupt them.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree with their listenership, and that's okay.
Okay, fair enough. Jesse, I don't want to not give you an opportunity to criticize me,
incredibly,
so please go ahead.
Incredibly IPT. Clearly these guys didn't want to post this poll, but you told them to, and they felt like you were bullying them already, so they had to say per your
bullying.
Request to prove
so
that.
Jesse, Jason not only interrupted and made Luka Chinsky feel like a complete blah, then he makes him put it on social media to validate his what he felt wasn't rude, even though we felt was rude. So he is a interrupting bullier.
Yep.
Is that the conclusion?
You made a mistake, and now we're going to drag you out to the town square, and we're going to show all the townspeople the kind of mistake you made.
It doesn't say specifically it was Luka Chinsky.
Yeah, the scarlet letter of Luchinsky's behavior yesterday. Now
a big
on
L,
full,
if you will.
And then Jason retweeted their poll, which he doesn't even retweet our polls these days, but he retweets this one to really put him on blast for all the Packers fans who follow Jason on social media.
Yeah, and he made him fly the L flag is what he did. Just
total
like
jerk store.
Yep, I agree. Yep. Agree.
Well, the voting is still open for another 7 hours if you'd like to change the path of history. And if you want to change out your windows, there's no better time than to reach out to Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sleek Gina Della.
Indeed, and for long-lasting comfort and reliability, it is easy to trust Pella. Each piece is specifically constructed for your home, always designed with innovation, rigorously tested for quality and performance, and built to create long-term energy savings. And there's no reason to wait. Order by August 31st. Get 0% interest for up to 60 months. And you know what? Got that beautiful little fair going on, State Fair. Stop on over. Pella's got a beautiful setup at the on the grounds there at the Wisconsin State Fair. You get booked up there, you're going to get another great opportunity for that 5 years of no interest payments. Don't miss out. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
Now you're retweeting the poll, Jesse?
Yeah, you need to be put on blast just like Wally was yesterday.
Okay, we'll see how the balloting goes. Again, nowhere in the actual poll does it say that Wally was the one who was corrected.
And nowhere in our retweet did we say that either.
I'm just glad that you're giving them some more run on social media because the guys do a great job and we're excited to have them.
Also, the beautiful little fair.
Yeah. Now who's doing the correcting?
Beautiful little fair going on.
Listen, I don't mind you correcting me after I'm done with the read. Yeah, it's fine. Listen, man, you can coach me. I'm open to coaching. Now, I'm not always going to agree with it, but you don't have to like make me feel like a total jerk store. You could do it off of air and say, Couch the Fair's big, it's boisterous, it's vibrant, not little. And I'd be like, yeah, you're probably right. So, yeah.
Too big to be walking around all day on your turf toe, though, I'll tell you that much. All right, we got to get ready for Brian Bulaga. We got to talk some football. We'll do it next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
For our weekly visit with Brian Bulaga, Iowa. And talk a little bit Packers training camp. But first, speaking of training camp, Jordan Love spoke yesterday with reporters, and he basically said he's playing on Saturday. Here's Jordan Love.
Yeah, we're not sure exactly, you know, all the details of how long we'll play, if we'll play. But, you know, Matt said in the team meeting, just make sure everybody's ready to play. You know, obviously, I think closer to game time, we'll start talking about how much we're playing and playing time, things like that. But I think everybody's got a mindset we're expecting to play.
Tausch, is this a good idea, a bad idea, or just the reality?
If they stay healthy, it's a great idea. If they don't, it's dumb. I mean, if we're just being honest, like if I've said all week that the only way you get better at playing football is by playing football and, you know, going out there, getting that intensity, even if it's in a, you know, preseason format compared to regular season, I do think there's a value in it. The question always is the value going to be worth the risk? And if something happens and one of your key players gets hurt, the answer is no. But you have to go out and play. I mean, you said Ted Thompson always talked about bubble wrapping guys. You can't play football in bubble wrap. You have to go out and do it. So the easy answer for me is it is a really good idea until it's not. So I want guys to be sharp. And, you know, the thing is, if you sit guys for 3 weeks, don't play them, let them do the scrimmage, they go out and are flat and play poorly against Detroit, everybody and their mother, including you, is going to sit there and say, oh, they didn't play in the preseason. So how are they going to get sharp? That's the yin and the yang of what coaches have to battle through. And so I think you try and be as smart as you can and limit that risk. But Jordan Love is not a 12-year starter with four MVPs. He is still a player that needs to get more consistent. And the way to do that is by playing. So I like it. I like it a lot. I like that they're going to be out there playing. I think the only thing is if something happens, unfortunately, the criticism is going to come, and that's just the nature of this beast.
So let me
– You don't like it, do you?
Well, I don't, and here's why. So last year, they played – the starters on each side of the ball played one series. For the defense, that ended up being 8 snaps. For the offense, it ended up being 3. Josh Jacobs had a 7-yard run.
Nice.
Then Love threw a swing pass to Jacobs in the flat that lost 2 yards. And then Love threw a 65-yard touchdown pass to Dontavion Wicks. This was in Cleveland.
That was fun. That was a fun play.
Yeah. Really good play.
Here's my question.
Excited. Yeah.
Ready for football.
Yep.
What exactly do you get out of playing 3 snaps as opposed to 0?
Okay, so I can tell you that. I am really glad you asked. That's a great question, Jason. So, yeah, the naysayer will say, well, it's only 3 plays.
That would be me.
But what you're not remembering or not, I guess, comprehending on that is
– could you not do that?
Do what?
You did that a bunch yesterday, too. You want to talk about IPT.
That's a little smuggy.
What you're not comprehending,
Jason,
you moron.
And you trust me, you'll know when I'm trying to come across saying you're a moron. That was not one of those.
Hey, doofus, here's why it's valuable.
I wasn't trying to even be a jerk star. It just comes so natural to me. Let me rephrase.
Listen here, idiot.
Let me rephrase.
You never played the game, so you don't understand.
You just said it. Now, I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but there is a difference in mentality. And you could, from the outside, say, it's only 3 plays. But it's about the practice and the preparation leading up to it. It's about the intensity of going through it. It's about the warm-up. It's about getting into your process. It's about having success. It's about having that confidence grow from the fact that you had a successful 3-play drive. So, yeah, I mean, it's 3 plays. But it's a lot more leading up into those 3 plays, and there is some ramifications from those 3 plays that you end up garnering from. So, yeah, and it's not me. Well, I played 11 years in this. But it is. There is a difference. And I can tell you from a mentality standpoint, if you know you're not playing, are you going to be as sharp? Like, if you know you have a deadline on Sunday to write an article, you're going to probably be cranked up and, I got to get it done. But if it's like, you know what, Jason, get it to me by Wednesday. Is there going to be that same intensity on Saturday or Sunday to get an article written? The answer is no. And so to bring it to, I guess, your writing terms, that's how players, there is some similarity there. So, yes, 3 plays, not that big a deal. But 3 plays, kind of a big deal.
So it's 3rd and 5, and he drops back. If he doesn't throw the touchdown, Let's say he picks up
they're
the first down.
They're going to play another series. They'll play another series.
Let's say they – right. And I'm just – where is the line where – like, I understand, even though I don't love it either, but I understand Mike Sherman's son-in-law, Zach Taylor, in Cincinnati, with his team having gotten off to an 0-3 start, that if they'd have just gone 1-2, they'd have made the playoffs then because they finished strong, feeling like, hey, we got to take the risk. But they are going to kill him in Cincinnati if someone takes a shot on Burrow and he misses time and he suffers a bruised throwing elbow or something. Like, I just – my question is, if it's all about the preparation and being ready to play, then tell them they're playing and then have them go through warm-ups as if they're playing, then tell them you're not playing.
You can't be a wolf crier. That's Tommy Wolf Crier. And they're going to catch on.
I didn't know Wolf Crier was Tommy's name.
You can't be a Tommy Wolf Crier where it's, oh, yeah, you're going to play it. And, oh, no, I'm too scared to put you out there, so we're not. And then next time you do the same thing, you guys are like, yeah, we ain't playing. Then you actually play, and you're not prepped, and you get hurt. And then you look back and say, well, Tommy Wolf Crier got me hurt. So that's not – lying to your players, Jason, when did you become let's lie to our players guy? Because that's
It's not lying. He said everyone – that's what Matt LaFleur has told the guys this week. Everyone needs to be ready to play. Plan on playing.
Pop.
Maybe he's still planning on pulling the rug out.
Maybe he will. And then he's going to be
And then
Tommy
he's Tommy Wolf Crier.
You don't want to be Tommy Wolf Crier. But there's not an easy answer to this. And unfortunately, most of the time, everybody will talk about process and process and process. And the process is to make sure you keep an intensity about your practices. And your intra-squad scrimmages and all of those things, and that's great. But you also it is really difficult to put your guys out there in harm's way and have anything happen, because we saw it in 16. I think it changed the direction of how the Packers approached it, because up until then, guys were playing. And that soured Aaron Rodgers' whole attitude on anything related to preseason. And when your quarterback is soured, everybody else is going to be soured. So this looks to me like this is going to be one of those where you're going to put enough out there to feel like you maybe can have an edge, but not enough to really put guys in a position where they could be harmed. And that is, to me, the best way to go about doing it. And whether that's 8 snaps or 3, I think that's how Green Bay is going to approach it. I would be shocked if you see them more than 2 series, even if they go 3 and out twice. I don't think it's going to be more than that. But there were times Mike Sherman would put us out there, and he'd say, you're doing a series. And we went 3 and out. All right, you're going again. 3 and out. All right, you're doing again. Because the thing that they want is for you to gain confidence in what you're doing. And that is as big of a component of this as anything else. And then staying healthy, obviously, is at the top of the list. But – you know, stuff does happen.
Wasn't there a preseason game where either you went out and then you had to go back in, or like everyone else got to go out and you didn't? Am I remembering this correctly?
You are correct, yeah. It was the last preseason game, and at that point, guys were, I think they cut down to 75. So there were guys that weren't playing, and then 2 guys got hurt, and they're like, you got to put it back on. And I had like taken all my tape off, and yeah, so I'm like, nah, but we didn't have enough bodies, and they dumped old T out there as as they normally do. And, yes, so that did happen.
All right. You don't want to be Johnny Wolf Crier, but you do want to be caller 2 for Malik Willis and 10 for Jordan Love. One quarterback will start, allegedly, and then the other one will take over. Because football season is right around the corner, and along with football season comes fantasy football season. And on Wednesday, August 20th, the ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy Football Draft returns and takes over the Pottawatomie Sportsbook for an exclusive draft night event. Call now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776, for your chance to join the ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy League and go head-to-head with other fans and the team we draft. I'm going to put Jesse in charge of that, to have fun all season long in pursuit of a championship. The experience includes free food, great prizes, and the full VIP experience interacting with all of your favorite ESPN Wisconsin hosts, all for fans 21 and older. Caller 2 and caller 10 at 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Win a spot in the 2025 ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy Football League with the draft exclusively in person on Wednesday, August 20th at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino Sportsbook. All lucky winners will have 48 hours to claim their spots for this exclusive event. So caller 2 and caller 10. So they're the caller 2 and caller 10 are going to be in our league, Jesse? They're going to be playing the team you draft?
That is correct, and I am the defending runner-up from last year for us. So we had a nice draft last year, so come ready. You're going to be in the Willie and Tausch League.
Be caller 2 and caller 10, and then Jesse can call Brian Bulaga. It's Willie and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
There's a lot of guys that have shown they belonged.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
I don't know if they've shown that they have staying power and that they're really, really good.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard.
Before we get to Brian Bulaga, I know Tausch wasn't really calling me a moron. He was just implying it. One thing that I am definitely is sensitive, and I feel bad for people when bad things happen to them. And yesterday the Packers put Travis Glover on injured reserve. He's got a shoulder injury that will now end his season, because when you're put on injured reserve during training camp, you are donezo for the year. And what I really liked about him was how, and look, he did not play well in that Eagles game in the playoffs. I think he used the phrase, "I did nothing that I can say I'm proud of" in that game. But I did respect the hell out of him for owning that and saying he was, his number one goal for training camp was to re-earn his teammates and coaches' trust. And it sucks for him that he's not going to have that opportunity moving forward, because his season is over. His season is over, but our time with Brian Bulaga is just beginning. He is our famous friend, wearing his Los Angeles Chargers blue today as he joins us. Brian, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So the NFL's not a place for feelings, right? Tausch's daughter Eleanor likes to say, feel your feelings. And I feel some feelings for Glover, but everyone wants to be able to atone, right? And that's a tough deal for him, that he's going to miss the entire season now, probably going to need surgery. When the last time he was on a football field in a game, things went as poorly as they did.
Yeah, I mean, it stinks for him. And the thing that, I mean, you hate to see guys get injured, right? Especially this time of year. Like, training camp is not the time you want to see guys get season-ending injuries. Like, it stinks. And obviously, the way his season ended last year, you touched on it. And guys want to redeem themselves. And like you said, he wanted to earn the trust back from his teammates, and the coaches, and earn his spot back on the roster and all those things. And unfortunately, I think I already tore a lat or something like that. Like, that doesn't sound comfortable by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
And to have to get surgery on that, no thanks. So I wish him the best. Like, obviously, I hope he has a fast recovery and is able to, bounce back from it. But you kind of said, you feel bad, but at the same time, you got to look at it from the bigger picture, right? Like, was he going to be on the 53 for the Green Bay Packers? I don't know. I don't know how that was going to work out with that group, with the draft picks and things like that, with Jordan Morgan in that competition. So you got six there, then you got the draft picks, and then Jacob Monk. So, how many were they going to keep? Was he going to be part of those guys? I have no idea how that was going to work out. But regardless, I hope the surgery goes well if he needs it, and the recovery goes well so he can come back next year and try to right the wrong, if that makes sense.
So, Blue, you know, there's been, you know, a lot of discussions with Elgton Jenkins and Jordan Morgan and Sheed. And Jason and, you know, the beat guys that have been up there, what do you think is going to end up playing out? Because to me, Sheed had kind of taken that spot. And now Jordan Morgan, Sheed misses this family night scrimmage. Jordan goes out there and by most accounts struggle a little bit. Lucas Van Ness had some pressures on him. At what point do you kind of look at Jordan Morgan? How much, I guess, leeway are you giving him? Because as we talked about all offseason, in this spot, and it doesn't feel as if it's trending that way.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I think, Jason, I don't know, you probably saw it. LaFleur mentioned something in his presser. There's going to be rough moments at times, but so far he's like looking good. Or he said something of that nature to Jordan Morgan playing left tackle. Like, there's going to be rough moments, but he's working through it, which is fine for training camp, right? Like, you're allowed to have rough moments in practice. That's why we practice. But we're not talking about practice. Like, we're talking about who's going to be the starter come week one, right? Like, that's what this competition's for. It's not to see who's making the mistakes in practice. It's who's winning the job in practice. And to me, I don't know what Sheed's injury is. I don't know if he's back at practice.
So he's got a it's a groin. He was back yesterday. He did not do 11 on 11, but he was back yesterday. I will see what I won't see because of my turf toe. I won't be standing on the sideline today. I'm good for Monday. I'm good for Saturday's game though. But he didn't miss a ton of time. It was not a serious injury. He may do 11 on 11 today.
Okay, so, like, you know, he missed a day or two. He'll be back in the mix. And like, I never like to judge guys based off a couple plays in a family night or just a regular practice. I think Tausch and I can agree on that. We'll never judge someone based off a couple plays. Yep. But at the same time, Sheed, I think, has kind of proven this is his gig. Like, I think it started in training camp. Kind of the way he approached it from the first press conference that he did with all, you know, the beat reporters in the locker room, how he's going to handle himself and how he's approaching it. And I think he's kind of gone about it that way because you haven't heard much about any competition until really Elgton came back and then he was out and she went out with the injury and he, Jordan Morgan took a lot of rest for family night. So I think once he gets back, I think it's going to, I would imagine that this competition will probably solve itself within the next week or so. Because you have to. Because before you go into joint practices, you want a pretty good idea of what your five are going to be going into those joint practices. Because you want to get the best look for your offense. Like, you want to be running your stuff against an opposing defense. So I think we're going to have a pretty good idea within a week where this thing's going. And I just think Sheed is, he's tried and true, man. He's battle tested with it. He's gone through the camp battles. He's started a lot of football games and it's probably going to be no different this time around.
So Blue, what do you tell fans then? Because I'm telling you right now, if that happens, and I think we both anticipate Sheed, if he's healthy, he's going to be the starting left tackle when Detroit comes to town in September. What are you going to tell folks about Jordan Morgan? Because there are going to be people saying, I'm not going to bring out the B word, but that's how that is going to be broached because he is a first-round pick. It is now his second year. And if he is going to be the swing guy at certain spots, that doesn't mean you write off his career at this point yet, right?
No, not at all. And, like, listen, you can be disappointed that he's not making an impact. Like I think a lot of fans will go back to that draft and see – Who got drafted behind him?
I think
and
TJ things like Watt. Was it TJ Watt available at that point? TJ?
Yeah, but he had turf toe.
Oh, okay.
But regardless, they'll go back and they'll look at, you know, who was there. But, like, that's a game you could play back and forth. But I think you look at last year, I mean, he was injured, right? So, like, he didn't have that time to develop and practice for a full year, strength training and everything like that. So then he comes back. and he's kind of rehabbing throughout the offseason and strength training, kind of doing all those things. And then he's thrown into a competition, and whether or not, you know, he believes he's ready or who's ready, you know, it doesn't matter. Sheed is going into this as the left tackle. Like, he ended the season as left tackle. He thinks he's going into the season left tackle. Jordan Morgan has to exceed everyone's expectations to even get a sniff of that job, and it's going to be tough to do. Like, it just really is. But I think people, while they may be frustrated, like, you can't write them off after 2 years. You never know what's going to happen throughout this year either.
Right.
Could be called, like, you just don't know. So, like, give him some time. Like you can't, like, I normally looked at it, I don't know about you, Tosh, but I normally looked at it like you give guys 3 years to, like, settle things out in the NFL. Like, I mean, if they're, I mean, obviously it's different for some guys, but 3 years gives you a pretty good idea if this is going to work out or not. Like, that gives you a very good picture as if they're going to transition or not. If after 3 years they can't do it, well, time to probably move on. So, like, I would warn fans, don't write him off. Let him continue to find himself as an NFL player. I mean, he's getting moved around from guard to tackle. Let him settle in. Let him get a full season of healthy, right, and training and practicing and doing all those things. And let's see, you know, if he doesn't start this year and next year's the year, let's see how it goes. But, like, let's not write him off, because he still may be an important piece this year. You don't know. And that's where we got to, like, just relax a little bit still.
Talking with Brian Bulaga for his usual Wednesday appearance on a Thursday. All right, Tausch basically called me a moron earlier. I don't know if you were tuned in.
It was in a nice way.
It was.
Oh, by the way, Dylan Jones just busted one. Would have been about an 80-yard tutter here early at camp.
That's two days in a row. You said his name.
That's true.
Anybody from Iowa? I don't know anybody from Iowa taking 170. I know that. All right, continue.
There's gonna be a.
I don't know if that's like a good thing for the Badgers defense. If I don't know which one's speaking volumes.
I knew that was coming.
I had a hunch. What happened last year in Iowa City might get thrown back in my face, but I was willing to take that risk.
Brian Tausch did basically call me a moron for suggesting that three plays of putting your offense out there like they did last year, when the third play was a 65-yard touchdown from Love to Dontavian Wicks, which certainly made everybody feel good and happy, is not worth the risk of putting your starters out there, especially after your quarterback played an entire season dealing with injuries that he suffered in games that counted. And he basically said there's so much value in getting ready to play and going out there, even if it's only for three snaps, that it's worth the risk. You played on a lot of veteran teams. You spent your entire career with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. Obviously, there was a different philosophy with him. Where do you stand on playing your best players, even guys that are younger, like the ones that are on this team, in preseason games?
Yeah, I mean, it is a delicate balance of what of how you walk it. I mean, I think if you're a veteran player, and Tausch will, I think he'll agree with me, like, we didn't love going out there for preseason. Like, I'll just say it, we didn't love it. But there is some value to it from the standpoint of you're prepping mentally for it, like, looking over, like, you know, going through playbooks, game planning for it, going through the warm-up, going out there for the first time for your first series and kind of getting those jitters out, right? Like, to me, that's a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. Like, and instead of feeling that for the first time against Detroit when it really, really counts, you get to kind of get that feeling in preseason. Well, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but for the most part, like, it's, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say irrelevant because it's relevant for some guys, but for the guys that are definitely going to be there, it's kind of irrelevant. But there's value to it. Now, from the starter standpoint, like Jordan Love and Jacobs, my only experience with LaFleur in preseason games was I didn't think we were going to play any of the preseason, and he ended up playing the offensive line and a lot of the offensive starters against Baltimore for, like, almost a half. I remember that. We got told in the hotel the night before, you guys are going out there for a good chunk of time, and it ended up being almost a half. Weren't expecting it. But you know what? I thought it was a good thing. But Aaron didn't play, which we all knew that was – like, Aaron was not going to play. We all knew that. I think it's different with this group, right, because I think it is a younger group. I think it's a group that's trying to build cohesion. I would err on the side of caution of putting Jacobs out there. Because I don't like the running back getting tattooed for no reason and taking off-season reps. Like, I just don't like it. And I don't potentially like, on the other side of the ball, twos and potentially threes, go like flying around, throwing their bodies into guys' legs and potentially doing something to Jake. Like, I just don't like it, right? Like, it, and
so I agree.
I would err on the side of caution of Jacobs going out there. But I think everyone else, if you go out there for a series – and that's all it is. I think there's positives to it. You get out there, you do what you need to do, and you move on. But the running back position, he already takes enough hits throughout the season, right? And we know his workload's going to be huge. No need to expose him to that in the preseason. But, like, you can protect Jordan Love, right? You can go handoff, keeper, three-step drop, see what happens. Get, and they're done, then they're done. And if they get a first down, repeat the same exact thing, but just flip it. Yep. And you can protect him very easily, too. So there's ways to make this thing work without risking injuries to your major players.
The New York Jets tweeting out a clip from Coach Aaron Glenn saying, quote, "We're playing, so their starters will also play Saturday, including Justin Fields, their new starting quarterback." All right, Brian. I was talking to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, and Chewy said it's gush season. This is when we gush about players, and a lot of times we are proven wrong on that. He was talking about Matthew Golden. I want to talk about a different wide receiver with you and get your thoughts on him, because there is a guy that I think has looked really, really good, and I'm not the only one with this opinion, and I want to see what you think and what it might mean for his long-term future since he is in the final year of his contract. We'll talk about that as we roll on with Brian Bulaga, not our cousin sub of the day, because you can hear Tausch, or at least the background of Tausch, at practice for the Badgers in Platteville. More Brian Bulaga straight ahead. Stick around.
We're on the Badgers.
Team's in a good spot. Culture's in a really good spot.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
And now it's just about, you know, hey, can you get back to that bowl game and hopefully get one or two of those marquee ones.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga, our famous friend who joins us every Wednesday, except today's Thursday. All right, Brian, here's the guy that I'm going to gush about. And he had a 55-yard touchdown the other day. I saw him with a crazy back shoulder catch last week when I was actually going to practice. He had a good family night. He's reliable on third down. And the quarterback raved, talk about gushing, raved about him yesterday. Romeo Doubs. After last season, and again, we did, Tausch and I discussed this yesterday. First of all, I don't know if there's a beat writer who's more sensitive than I am and more worried about guys' feelings and being cognizant of them being human beings, but that's fine. But you want to chalk up what happened last year to a mental health episode? And not just him not being happy with his role, that's fine. I can tell you that there are multiple people in the building that said he was pissed about his role. So, again, however you want to view it, the point that I made to Tausch yesterday and he agreed is that whatever the reason was, the NFL, they don't forget stuff like that, including in 1265 Lombardi Avenue. And then on top of that, two concussions, one against San Francisco in late November, another one in the playoff game against the Eagles. There's a lot of ifs and question marks here with him. But, Brian, I'm telling you, he's looked damn good so far in camp. So where do you kind of fall on him, and how much should I allow my own hopes for him to get up? But more importantly, as a conduit to the fans, how much I wrote about him today. I mean, Love raved about him. How should put us in perspective for us?
He is like the toughest one to like judge and gauge and think like what is his future going to be, right? Like he is the toughest one just solely based on the past and really just the past year. Because if like everything went smoothly the past like last year, and I'm not talking about the concussions, though that's unavoidable, and you know what I mean. Like I'm not even getting into that. I'm talking about the off the field stuff, right? Like and not showing up. Like if that doesn't happen, there's a potential that he could be in talks to get extended already, or something may have already come to fruition. So like. That's kind of why this is a difficult one to judge, because you're right. They don't forget things like that at 1265. When you do things like that, they don't forget it and they remember it. And then when it comes time to pay and pay big dollars for guys like that, they think long and hard on it. And listen, I hope he plays the best football of his career. I hope he stays as healthy as can be, and I hope he performs at the highest level that he can. I just don't think Green Bay can look at it and go, okay, so if we keep him and we do pay him, how do we know that 2 years down the road when Matthew Golden maybe develops into the stud that we think he is and he takes over as the one, how do we know that this issue may not pop back up again? That he's unhappy with his role and he's making X amount of dollars and things like that's the stuff that GMs think about down the road. It's not just about current right now. It's down the line things. And that would be something that I would be thinking about if I was writing the checks, right? If I was building this team, was like, what if this happens again? When will it happen again? What if it's in an important moment in the season when we need to rattle off two or three wins in a row and he's unhappy? Like how do we deal with that? And that puts coaches, GMs and players in tough positions, right? And that's one thing you don't want to do as a GM. You don't want to put those people that make this thing tick in a tough position. So it's just hard to predict, but I hope he plays well. I really do, for his own sake, because you want to see every guy maximize their earnings and earning potential and things like that. But I'm just not sure if it's going to be in Green Bay. Unfortunately.
So Blue, if you were writing the checks and you know, everything you just said there, it's decision time. What are you doing as the GM?
Yeah, I mean, I probably have to, let him walk to free agency. And obviously we have to see how this season goes. Now, if he goes out there and puts together a season that we, you know, can't comprehend, right? Like puts up numbers that we're not even thinking about right now. Well, then there's a discussion, but then you got to look at it on the back end. What's that going to cost you? Right? Like because you've let this go now into his final year and he's going to hit the market. What's that going to cost you? And to me, with the guys you still have in the room, with the rookies that you drafted, I think you have to allow him to walk and get a compensatory and just and kind of move on, unfortunately. Like, but that, because when you have a room loaded the way that they do with so many young guys and talents and guys coming up on contracts, right? We haven't even talked about Watson yet, who's in the same exact boat but is coming back from an injury and is up for a contract too. Like, there's so many variables here that, like, it's hard to judge what's going to happen right now. But if it's me, like, I have to look at the past. I get he's been productive, but I also see that down the pipe here, like, I got two more guys up next year. I got two rookies that I really like that I just brought in. Like, their decisions have to be made. Like, tough decisions have to be made. I mean, we can't keep everybody. And that's really where that's where I would sit on it. Again, it stinks because, like, if he performs at such a high level, it puts everyone in a bind, right? Like, it puts everyone in a bind of what to do. But at the same time, like, you've got to look out for what could happen potentially in the future if, say, he's not happy with his role, right? And it's something simple like that. It's not like – you know, I don't, and we saw what happened last year, and it kind of snowballed a little bit, and he didn't have his best season, and you just don't want to have that when you're potentially paying a guy. I don't know how much receivers, how much he would demand on the market, but we'll just say certainly would be over $15 million. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'd be over $15 million a year for sure. And, like, do you want that happening with a guy earning over $15 million a year? It's tough.
Talking with Brian Bulaga on Wilde and Tausch. All right, Brian, so he's the one guy that I'm gushing about. I do want to ask you about Rashawn Gary. I'm going to write about him today. We talked to him yesterday. And he's a... he's a tough interview for me because I don't want to put words in his mouth, but at the same time, you know, I wanted to ask him if he feels like he needs to be more productive. And he made a comment that his goal is always to be dominant. And I said, do you feel like to this point you've been as dominant as you are capable of being? And what do you need to do if not, to get there? And he did acknowledge that this team needs more from him. As you watch them, and having blocked against plenty of elite-level edge rushers, what is realistic to expect from a guy who's going into his seventh NFL season? Is it possible that we're looking at, in second year of this system, he's going to have like a 15-sack season when he's never had a double-digit sack season in his career to this point?
Yeah, and like, they obviously need a lot out of Rashawn, right? I mean, he's getting paid that way, and he's expected to be kind of the main engine on that defensive line, right? Like, that's that's his gig, right? Like, he's the guy that goes and gets the quarterback. I mean, I think you can expect him to get to that 10 sack mark. I mean, I think he could certainly do it. I think he's got the skills to do it. I think he's got the talent to do it. He plays with a really high motor, which gets you sacks in a lot of different scenarios, right? When you're chasing down quarterbacks or things like that. So, like, he plays with that type of energy. Obviously, health. You got to stay healthy to do it. And those are things that, you know, at times throughout the season, he's been, you know, like, everyone struggles with it, but it's impacted play. And then obviously the change of scheme last year, regardless of what anyone thinks, did it hold guys back or not? I don't know. But this is his second year in it, so he should be way more comfortable with what his responsibility is and what he needs to do. So, like, I would expect him to be in that 10 to 11 sack type range. Now, if that's what he considers dominant, or if that's what people around the league, or, you know, like, you know, like Jason, like yourself or Rob or guys that cover the team daily, like, if you guys consider that dominant, you know, that's, you know, that's up for your guys to, you know, to interpretate. Like, that's, you know, for me, I look at those dominant edge rushers, like, yeah, their numbers matter. You know, they're always in that 12, 13 sack range. That's normally where they're getting. But I always looked at the dominant edge rushers as the guys that you have to always, like, focus and game plan around. Like, those were the guys that, like, you knew were the game wreckers and the guys that, like, were the dominant rushers. And Tausch knows them because he played against a bunch of them. I played against a bunch of them. And, like, you knew in the offensive meeting when you went over personnel, those were the guys that the coordinator, the O-line coach, everyone was mentioning because, like, you had to focus on where that guy was at.
Yeah, bullseye guy. Yeah, Blue, we call bullseye guys, right? You put a circle on him and say, yeah, hey, we're not letting this guy wreck a game. And right now, yep. Does Green Bay have one of those guys on defense?
You could say it's McKinney. McKinney's a game wrecker. You could say that we're not going to allow this guy to blow up our passing game and get picks and do things. Like, you could say that in a secondary, but from a pass rush, like, a front four standpoint, I don't think so. I mean, at least from looking at last year, right, what's on tape, right? We're only judging what's on tape. We're not judging based on, like Jason always says, we're not judging on feelings or things like that. We're just looking based on tape. You could say no, right? Like, we don't have that guy. That doesn't mean that this year, as they start playing these games, someone doesn't, you know, kind of raise their game and become that guy. Like, Rashawn could do that. He could have that type of year. But when you're going into week one, right, is Detroit looking at this with that offensive line and those tackles that they have? Are they going, all right, who's the bullseye guy? I'm not sure they're doing that. You have to prove to teams that you're that type of guy. Like, you have to start putting together a season that makes O coordinators and O-line coaches and offensive linemen see that on tape and go, okay, this guy's an issue now. This guy's a problem. He's been playing this way for the last 4 or 5 games. Like, we need to pay attention. Like, you just don't – unless you're Myles Garrett or Watt or Parson or, like, or Crosby.
Hendrickson.
Like, yes, like, those are the guys that you go into week one knowing those are bullseye guys. Like, you got them. Yeah, but we know we can't let those guys wreck the game because they will if we let them. This group that we have right now, someone has to elevate themselves into that realm. Can they do it? Yeah, I think that certainly they could. Somebody can. But that's something you got to do on the field. You can't talk about it. It has to be done and put it on tape.
Is that Rashawn Gary? Is that the guy that has to be that guy?
I think so. I mean, I think if you look at that group from a pure pass rushing and impacting the game, he's that guy. Like, he's the D end that can get those things done. Now, I'm not saying that the other guys aren't productive, like Kenny's very good in the run game and things like that. And, you know, Van Ness has to prove a lot this year and things like that. Like, there's guys that are productive, but we need someone that just elevates it. And I think Rashawn can do it. But as Jason said, like, you got to go out, like, he has got to go out there and do it. Like, and you could talk about it and have the expectations and things like that. Like, expectations are great right now. In camp, like, expectations and goals are good, but when week one comes, it's time to actually go do it and put it on film. And once he starts doing that, you become that type of guy, right? You become that guy that defenses or offenses start to scheme around, and it opens up opportunities for other people. But as of right now, today, teams look at it right now. I mean, I would guess that Detroit goes into it and they play it straight, right? Like, they don't look at it favoring. Like, they'll probably look at Cooper. If he's lining up in certain areas, do we have to worry about him as a rusher adding on as a fifth? If McKinney's down in the box, do we have to worry about him adding on as a pressure guy? Like, there's certain things that obviously there's things to be concerned about, but just from the front four, that's gonna have to be earned by those guys. They got to earn that reputation, and that's nope. That's just the way it is.
No doubt about it. All right, last one for me, Blue. How would, you know, let's do a little throwback. It's Throwback Thursday here in Platteville. We're going to Pizza Hut, going to have some disco outfits and pricing and everything. It's going to be great. But let's do a little throwback. How would the O-line of TJ Lang, Josh Sitton, Corey Linsley, Brian Bulaga, and David Bakhtiari handle a reporter who's been on the beat for, I don't know, at that point, 24 years, and has missed training camp because of a turf toe? How would he, when he comes back into the locker room, can you just give me a little smidge of what that might feel like and sound like?
I mean, I can assure you there would be a lot of Sid used to do like a really good like not a like a baby voice, but a very kind of like I don't know how you would put it. Jason is your toe.
Little Wildy is your little tootsie, okay?
That's exactly what it would be. Be a lot of that. You'd get a warrior credit for getting back on the job. Big warrior credit.
Hero. Be some heroic stuff. Yep.
Yeah. So there'd be a lot of that tossed around. Would be my guess. So I mean, that's how it would have been handled. Back in the day.
I miss those days.
Well, the good news is I haven't missed the locker room, and I don't think they notice if I am or am not at practice. So I think they will not be able to ridicule me again today when I see them after they get done with practice and I get done with this fine radio program. Brian, you are a bullseye guy for this show, and whether it's Wednesday or Thursday, you always make our show a lot better. We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks.
All right, guys. Talk to you.
That is the great Brian Bulaga. And talking about great, how about a great night's sleep? Are you looking for a great night's sleep? Well, you'll find it at Steinhoffel's because they've got you covered with the Tempur-Pedic mattresses that they have available. Tempur-Pedic's advanced pressure-relieving technology helps make those everyday aches and pains, even turf toe, a thing of the past. Right now, queen hybrid models start at just $52 a month with Steinhoffel's 60-month financing. And when you buy, you'll get $300 in Steinhoffel's cash. And if you want to level up your comfort, add an anti-snore adjustable base and sleep even better. Steinhoffel's is your mattress destination, so shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. The 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes, which should be around 10:20. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.